All right, let's wrap up this series on walking in love. I do want to remind everybody that is involved in the boxes for Operation Christmas Child, speaking of walking in love. I wrote in the email. Now, that brings me to something else. Let's just take care of a little business here real quick before I get into this. How many of you get the email that I send out every week? Okay, if you don't get it, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to check your junk mail, because we use a program that sometimes will it'll hit your inbox. Your inbox will think that it's junk mail. So if you're not getting an email from me every week saying what's going on here, check your junk mail. If you've never given us your email address, well, that's why you're not getting the email, okay? But there's a lot of important information that goes on in there. So here's the thing. If we don't have your email address, please fill out a connection card so I can get it to you. Now, listen, it's not spammy, and we're not sending you an email, you know, trying to milk money out of you or bug the fire out of you. We just want everybody to know what's going on at the church during the week, okay? It's very informative, pretty short. And if you don't want to get it, you can opt out of it, okay? But if you are getting it and you just aren't reading it, again, the altars are open. And they can pray with you. All right, so, but I said in the email this week that Operation Christmas Child, that today was the day you had to have your boxes here. And I noticed quite a few of you brought them in. But Janet handed me a note just right before I came up here and said that we can still accept them all the way up until next Sunday. So if you have your boxes and forgot them, bring them next week, okay? If you haven't got a box yet, listen, we're not asking you to go buy somebody a PlayStation or an Xbox and stick it in there. They wouldn't be able to use it where it's going anyway. They probably don't have electricity, all right? So we're just asking you to buy some little things and stick them in a box. It costs $7. We ask you to stick $7 in there, and it helps them to get shipped overseas. And it's through Samaritan's Purse, which I believe is part of the Billy Graham Association, and that goes out, and they evangelize while they're giving the children these presents. So you have an impact on the other side of the world if you get involved in this, all right? Praise the Lord. Okay, that being said, let's go right to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, I know we've been in 13, but we're going to look in verse number 12 this week, because this sets up what we're talking about this week. In the last few weeks, I've been kind of hard on you, because we've been talking about the definition of love. But this week, I want to make everybody happy. Everybody smile real big. All right? Now, everybody give me a big amen. Amen. Now, listen, I want to hear a lot of those today, because we're going to talk about happy stuff. Okay? I don't want anybody sitting there going like this. Ow. Okay? I want to amening. I want you to be happy this morning. Is that all right? All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Now, if you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the Apostle Paul here is talking about spiritual gifts in the church. He's talking about prophecy, and he's talking about tongues and interpretation and gifts of healing and working of miracles and all the rest of them. And he says here, you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Another one says the best gifts, okay? Meaning that there are some gifts of the Spirit that are more powerful or better than others. Not in better in value, but they just have a greater impact than others, okay? So he's telling us that we should desire. Now listen, anybody ever want to go and say that the gifts of the Spirit and stuff like that is all passed away, and that was for people in the Bible, and that's not for us today? Why would that be in the Bible now? For Paul to tell us to desire those things now. That shouldn't be written to the church today. If it's in the Bible, it's written to the church today, all right? And so he says, you should desire the most helpful gifts. But then he says this, but now let me show you a way of life that is best of all. Now talking about, listen, these gifts are great, but this way is going to be better. All right, let me read it to you out of the Amplified. But earnestly desire and zealously cultivate the greatest and best gifts and graces, the higher gifts and the choicest graces. And yet I will show you a still more excellent way, one that is better by far and the highest of them all, love. Now I want you to catch this with me and listen to me closely, because I said this at the beginning, I'm going to say it again. I am all for the gifts of the Spirit in operation. I'm all for it. I think it should be happening. It's specific to this dispensation that we live in. Now, some of you look at me and say, dispensation? Are we in a Methodist church this morning? Do you have a doctorate? I mean, what kind of word is that? I mean, that's the time that we're living in, the outpouring that the Holy Spirit is being poured out on the earth. We're living in His time, which means He has gifts and they operate, and we should be doing that, okay? We should be seeing gifts of prophecy, and we should be seeing people get healed instantly. Oh, come on now. That was a good place to amen right there. I told you I want to hear amens. We should be hearing about miracles. Everybody's like, I'm not so sure. Should we? Yes, it's okay. We should be hearing about us getting a word of knowledge about what's going on in somebody else's life. What? We should. You know, you ought to, when you are praying for somebody that you work with, it shouldn't surprise you if God says something to you and gives you a little word of encouragement to give them. That shouldn't surprise you. In fact, we should be expecting it. It should be happening. But folks, if that doesn't happen, you can still make the greatest impact there is. And I will guarantee you right now, you can go to any prophecy conference that you want to. You can have a prophecy meeting if you want to. Okay? You can have a healing revival if you want to. And I will still have greater impact than what you're doing. Why? Because Paul says here, the greatest of these is love. And what we need to be doing more than anything else is loving people. We need to be loving people, all right? And when those gifts of the Spirit manifest, if they manifest through you loving people and not just trying to show how spiritual you are, hello, you actually will make even harder of an impact on their life if it's done in love. Now listen, I'll be honest with you. I've seen people that make give prophecies and give tongues and interpretation, and they're arrogant, and they're very, anybody else know these kind of people? And they're real, you know, oh, you know, you should be lucky. You should feel lucky that I'm talking to you right now because I have a word of God from you. And the thing about that is, that's all great and wonderful, but if it's done in love, the impact is way stronger. I worked for Kenneth Hagin for 11 years, and while he was still with us, I never saw that man give a prophecy or call somebody out and read their mail or anything in arrogance or anything. In fact, if anybody was ever close enough to stand and look at Brother Hagin in the face, you really felt genuine love coming from that man. Almost like he was talking to one of his kids. You know how you talk to your kids? You're just so proud of your kids when you're talking to them. It was that's the way he talked to everybody. And when before he died, he was considered. I mean, Oral Roberts went on TV on Benny Hinn's program and called him the leading prophet in the nation. I mean, he was considered by many, and he never prophesied out of anger or arrogance. He always prophesied out of love. The Bible encourages us to make love our main goal. Now, it should not just be something that we're striving towards. This should be something that we're becoming. Amen. Now, how many of you know the word Christian means what? Christ-like. Well, if God is love, then what should we be becoming? We should be becoming that. We should be becoming that. All right? If this is something God wants for us, then there must be a reason for that. Now, I want to say this to you. Anytime God does anything, it is never just for the benefit of one person. Now, we obviously have been talking about love and how we treat other people. Now, catch this. Because when you go and you talk about walking in love, obviously it has to do with how you're affecting somebody else. If I love somebody else, I'm affecting them. If I do something nice for them, I'm affecting them. But listen, when God tells me to walk in love, it is not just solely for the person I'm loving's benefit. It is for our benefit as well. Now, this is where you can get real, you can get hung up real quick here, because human love is all about the person doing the loving. You will tell somebody you love them because it makes you feel good. It gives you goosebumps. You know, when you say, you know, how many of you can remember back when you were dating? Okay, some of you in here still are dating. That's good. You know exactly what I'm talking about. But you remember where you're sitting there and you're holding hands and you're looking at them and that emotion just overwhelms you and you just look at them and you just go, I love you. And maybe they weren't at that place yet, and they look at you and go, thanks. And you kind of got offended a little bit, like, you don't feel that too? Why? Because it was all about how it made you feel. Where God's love will look at you and tell you, I love you, and doesn't matter if you love him back or not. It's all about, I'm saying this to make your life better today. It is for the benefit of somebody else, all right? So we obviously know it's for that benefit, but listen, God's love isn't just for us to benefit the other people. It is actually to benefit us too. Now, it isn't all about us, and we don't love people just for us, okay? We are doing this, though, to do things for other people, but it will benefit you. Love is God's way to prosper us, spirit, soul, and body. Okay? It is the way to prosper in every area of your life. You want to become wealthy? Start loving people. It will happen. You want to become peace of mind, you know, and not have craziness running in and out of your head all the time? Start loving people. You want to make sure your health stays in place and you're still, you know, good physically? Start with loving people. It prospers us in every way, shape, or form. So the first thing, here it is. Walking in love is profitable. That's the first thing. Come on, amen me, somebody. Walking in love is profitable. It is the most godly thing that we can do. Is that right? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 8. If anybody ever grew up in a Pentecostal church with a weight problem, you probably heard this verse a lot. I grew up as a chubby little kid, so I heard this verse quite a bit. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Now, Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote this to Timothy. Okay? This is a God idea that is a snapshot of what God's will is for our life. Okay? Now, look what he says here. Bodily exercise profits a little. Now, when I would hear my youth camp counselors and stuff say that, you know, be like, there's profit there. And I'd be, yeah, but is it really worth it? It's just a little. Can't we go have another cup of Jell-O? All right. Look what he says there. It profits a little. All right. Why does it only profit a little? Now, listen, I want to say it right now. I'm big on exercise. If anybody follows me on Facebook, you see it. I post. I got it set up. Phi actually called me out on it. I got convicted about it. All right. I usually post when I'm running or stuff like that, and then I stopped doing it. And so he called me, and he's like, hey, I noticed you haven't been running. And I'm like, oh, no, I'm running. I just haven't been posting it on there. And he's like, okay. And then he put hashtag accountability in a text message. And so now I got it set to automatically. As soon as I finish running, up it goes immediately. So you all see it? I don't put that up there to convict you. I'm doing it so that Phi won't call me out on it anymore. But I do. I try and do a 5K at least 3 times a week. All right? Yay, amen. No, I'm just kidding. You don't have to amen that part. All right? But now listen, it does profit, and it profits a little, okay? I see good benefits of it here, okay? But exercise is only going to, it only promises to pay us off in this life, okay? That's why it only profits a little. It only going to promise to pay off here, okay? Now, you know, I'm sure there are clothes in my closet that I profit greatly from when I'm exercising. You know why? Because they fit. When I don't, guess what? They don't fit anymore. And there are some things that when I'm exercising, they don't fit in a good way. When I'm exercising, they start getting baggy. Come on, somebody. There is profit to it, but it only benefits us here. But now watch what Paul says here. He says, godliness is profitable for all things. Now, how many of you know, if I said it to you, it's the, walking in love is the most godly thing you can do, right? So we could say it this way, walking in love is profitable in all things. It is profitable in all things. Now, if it says there, it's profitable in all things, having promise of the life that now is, which means we have benefit from being godly now. Now, I need to say that, because somebody here would automatically think that godliness will only profit you when you get to heaven and you reap your reward. That's not what Paul says. He says it's profitable for the life that is now. How many of you are still alive? You're still breathing. You feel like it sometimes, maybe not, but you know, you're still breathing. You're still here. All of the rewards of godliness are not just set up to hit us when we die. There are rewards that can be ours right now. Come on, somebody. Boy, that was an awful week. Amen. I said there are things that can be we can be enjoying right now. I think there's another place in the Bible where it says your days will be as heaven on the earth. How many of you can think about how great heaven's going to be? Think about that for a second. How great is it going to be? Pretty awesome. Streets of gold, you know, big old mansion. I mean, it's going to be awesome, right? I mean, just angels and God and Jesus, and we're all just going to be singing harmony all the time. It's going to be wonderful, and it's just going to be peaceful. And I asked my cousin one time, he was a good old redneck from Kentucky, and he dipped snuff. But man, he loved Jesus. Some of you think, can you do both? Well, he did. I don't know. And I said, you know, smokeless tobacco right there. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? And so, oh yeah, it was disgusting. Especially when you get in his car and his spit cup was in the cup holder. It's nasty. You know what I'm talking about, Jason? Yeah. Yeah. And so, I asked him, we were talking one time, and I was like, man, heaven's going to be awesome. And then he goes, yeah. And we were talking about what it's going to be. And he goes, you know, we really don't really know what it's going to be like. He goes, we might just be stuck in a state of bliss the whole time. We're just like, you know. And I'm like, yeah, we could be. And he goes, yeah, but my idea of heaven is just a great big can of Copenhagen that I could just dive into. And I'm like, bless your darling heart. But some people have different views of how good heaven's going to be. How awesome is it going to be? We all, and nobody thinks it's going to be bad. Everybody goes, oh, I can't wait till I get that reward. Listen to me. There is that part that you can enjoy some of that right now. You can enjoy the blessings of God here right now. And godliness is profitable. Walking in love lets you enjoy that right now. The word profitable means this. Beneficial. It means useful. Now, here's the part that really made me just about jump up and run around my house yesterday, or 2 days ago. Yielding returns that create circumstances that will increase the chance of success or effectiveness. Some of you got that, some of you didn't. Let me read to you again. Okay, the word profitable, when it says godliness is profitable, or walking in love is profitable. What does that mean? Walking in love will yield returns that create great circumstances that increase the chance of success or effectiveness. Man, that made me just, I mean, I got goosebumps when I looked that up, and I started reading and trying to figure out what all that meant, because, you know, I mean, we can say profitable, and it sounds good, but what does that really mean? It means it's yielding returns that create great circumstances that increase the chance of success. This is what walking in love does for you. It sets you up to succeed. Walking in love actually brings about a return on our investment that we're making in other people, and it increases our chance of success or effectiveness here on the earth. This is why it can't be all about you and how it makes you feel. Even though you're going to get the benefit from it, you can't just go around doing things that benefit you. Once you benefit other people, you've now, increased your chances of everything working better for you. You've increased your chances of you being more effective in this life. Come on, somebody. You've increased your chances of that thing you're trying to start booming and becoming the next big thing. Come on. You've increased your chances of putting in for a raise at work. Come on, somebody. And getting it. You've increased your chances of finding the dream job. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching better than you're acting this morning. You've increased your chances. When you walk in love, you're accepting the profits of heaven on your side. And you've increased your chances. How much have we increased? I mean, have we gone from 3% to like 7%? No. My God doesn't operate in 3%. Come on. How many of you know he's fail-safe? Is he? I mean, is he really? God is fail-safe. He can't fail. It's impossible for him to do something and it blow up and not work. It's not like he stood out there in the aching void of nothingness and said, "Let there be light," in his Darth Vader, Barry White hybrid voice that he has. And he said it and like nothing happened. It was like a little zzz, and nothing happened. It's not like he went to go form the heavens and the earth and there was nothing to form it with. He is fail-safe. He is always faithful. He will always do it whenever he sets out to do. And guess what? If he's operating in you, why? Because God is love. So if you're operating in love, come on, somebody better catch this morning. I'm preaching good. I want to hear an amen. You have increased your chances for success here in this life. Well, that's better. Walking in love pays off. How does it pay off? How does that work? I don't get it. Second point, it allows the power of God to flow freely in you and through you. Turn to Mark chapter 11, verse number 25. Mark chapter 11, verse number 25. Now, verse right before this is where Jesus told us to speak to the mountain. Verse 23, if you speak, saying to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things which you say shall come to pass. You'll have whatever you say. Then he says, and when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have them. Then verse 25, he says this. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now let me ask you this. If you're in unforgiveness, and you and God have something between you that he hasn't forgiven you of yet, or you haven't repented of yet, he can't really do anything about that for you, can he? Can't really help you. He can't help an unrepentant heart. All right? And so if there is something between you and him, and he can't do anything to help you and get past that, Don't get me wrong, I believe in grace and I believe in mercy, but I also believe that there's some things that we're doing that we know we shouldn't be doing, but we keep doing them anyway, and that's the reason God's blessings just stop. Can't go any further. It's not like he's sitting there holding them back from you going, ha, ha, ha. He's actually put them up as far as they can go, up against you, and they can't go any further. Okay? And so he's saying, if that happens, and they're up against you as close as they can get, and they're just not coming in, and you have unforgiveness in your heart against somebody, and somebody's done something wrong to you, and you haven't forgiven them for it, what's he saying? You haven't walked in love towards these people? Then guess what? I can't walk in love anymore towards you. And guess what holds up your blessing? Come on, somebody. You're holding up the power of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8 says this, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reveling for reveling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to do this, that you may inherit a blessing. For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Let me read this to you out of the Amplified. Finally, all of you should be of one and the same mind, united in spirit, sympathizing with one another, loving each other as brethren of one household, compassionate and courteous, tenderhearted and humble, never return evil for evil or insult for insult, scolding, tongue-lashing, berating, but on the contrary, blessing, praying for their welfare, their happiness, their protection, and truly pitying and loving them. For know that this you have been called, that you may yourselves inherit a blessing from God, that you may obtain a blessing as heirs, bringing welfare and happiness and protection. For let him who wants to enjoy life and see good days, good, whether apparent or not, keep his tongue free from evil and his lips from guile, treachery, and deceit. Let him turn away from wickedness and shun it, and let him do right. Let him search for peace, harmony, undisturbedness from fears, agitating passion, and moral conflicts, and seek it eagerly. Do not merely desire peaceful relations with God and with your fellow man and with yourself, but pursue and go after them. If you're walking in love and displaying the characteristics of love, your prayers will get answered. Four amens. Thank you. Your prayers will get answered, and it will allow God's power to flow freely through you and in you. Now, have you ever stopped to think about how much your tongue has to do with the quality of your life? Now, we all believe in confessing the right things for our lives. In fact, there are some people that are very extreme in this. It's like, how are you feeling today? I'm not feeling too good. You better watch your confession. Well, you asked me how I was doing. I'm just telling you how I feel today. That doesn't mean that's how I am. I am healed. I am the blessed of the Lord. I mean, okay, if we want to go confession police route, we'll go that way. Okay? Now, there are some people that are like that. Okay? And there are some people that believe in confessing the word over their lives until it happens, till they see it. I know people that will tape confessions on their mirror, and while they're getting dressed in the morning, they're putting their makeup on or fixing their hair, they're saying confessions that they have up there over their life. You know, I am the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. Come on, they say them all. All right? But our life is also shaped by the words we confess about other people. You go out and speak about people and talk about how terrible they are and call them every name under the sun. What do you think you're going to inherit? More of that from them in your life? It also has a lot to do with your days on the earth being good days or bad days. Now, I want you to notice in that scripture we read, it said your days will be good. Whether you can tell they're good or not, they'll be good. It actually says that. Anybody else catch that? Whether observed or not, your days will be good. Meaning this, there's a whole lot more than how we feel today. A whole lot more than what's frustrating me today. There's a whole lot more to this that play here than that. My day is good regardless of what the devil's trying to do. Regardless of what somebody did to frustrate me, I still have a good day. All right? Our words have a whole lot to do with that. The key to this in this whole passage of scriptures is this. You got to keep your tongue from speaking evil. And I'm going to tell you right now, as mad as somebody makes you, you're not keeping your tongue from evil when you give them a tongue lashing up one side and down the other about how bad they are, whether they hear it or whether they don't. Now, just this week, I had a marvelous opportunity to give somebody a major tongue lashing. Somebody talking bad about me, horrible about me, saying some of the most untrue things about me. I mean, just awful. And not just saying it to people that none of you all would have experienced because they didn't talk to you. They went and talked to people that I used to work with and people that I used to work for and people that were friends of mine in ministry. And thank God one of them was one of my best friends, and he called me and he said, just so you know, here's what they're saying about you. And it sounds so unlike you, I thought I would call you. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. My every temptation over all 245 pounds of me wanted to pick up that phone and give them a piece of my mind and be like, who do you think you are talking about me that way? When you know that ain't no more true than the man in the moon, you're just trying to spread gossip and you're trying to spread a bunch of baloney and you're trying, and he just trying best he could. I wanted so badly to post on Facebook a great big post about how people are stupid and people just want to, I mean, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. All of you want to do it too. And I wanted to go and have a prayer meeting amongst people and tell people listen, we need to pray for these people because they're just ignorant and they're just deceitful and they're just, you know, they're just trying their best to destroy and they're just spiteful and I wanted everything in me to reach out and do that. And guess what I'm studying about this week? Keeping your mouth from evil. So I had to make a decision. I can either get mad and lambast and give everybody in the world an opportunity to get on the bandwagon and go after it with me, or I can take a deep breath and watch this, refuse to let them be that to me. Come on, you better catch that. I can refuse. Listen, you may go act like that, but you're not going to be that to me. Why? Because I'm not going to put up with that in my life. Now watch this. Putting up with it in your life doesn't mean you set them straight. Putting up with it in your life means what they're trying to do doesn't have any bearing on you. I was talking to my mom and dad about it. I talked to a few of the staff folks here about it, just people that needed to know. And I just said, honestly, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them. I want to get mad, but as I look past the emotion of it and the, you know, the part of me that wanted to salute, y'all know what I mean by that, right? Okay, I'm just being real, all right? I wanted to. Once I looked past all that and looked past the anger, I saw what was going on here. I felt pity. I felt bad for them. And I kept my mouth closed. I gave very specific, you know, this is what happened, and no opinion attached, except I feel bad for them. And that was it. No drama, no nothing. Kept my mouth from evil. Kept my mouth from talking bad about it, just getting right. Let me tell you something. If you get in there and talk bad about them and call them everything that they are in your mind, you've not only given them permission to be that now, but now, how are you any different than them? So I didn't. Kept my mouth shut. Here's what happened. I feel bad for him. And then I went in my closet, and I put my face in my suits, and I went, ah! And then I got out the hair dye and covered up all the gray streaks that it was giving me. No. I was beside myself, and yet I held it in so that I didn't, why? That I didn't give it out. Why? Because I want to reap, come on now, I want to reap the power of God flowing in me, come on, and through me. I want to have the profitability of the kingdom of God working on my behalf. And you can't be walking in love and trashing somebody at the same time. You're either trashing them or you're walking in love. There is no, well, I love them with the love of the Lord, but you know, they're just real. You can't do both. You know, I love them. I just, you know, I love them with the love of the Lord, but they're just nothing but just a. You can't do both. You can't harbor unforgiveness in your life and be walking in love. But if you'll forgive and believe that these people are going to be what you believe for them to be, and stop giving them permission to be gossips, and stop giving them permission to be jerks, and stop giving them permission to be the backside of a cow, a donkey, or a horse, whichever one you want to put in there. If you stop giving them permission to be that way by stopping your confession there, the power of God can flow through you. Power of God can operate in you. If you have the power of God, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 12. If you'll forgive and believe, the best days of your life will be good days, and God can and will answer your prayers. Here's verse number 12. For the eyes of the Lord, watch this, are on the righteous. Now look at that, because we all like to sing that song. He's got the whole world in his hands. Y'all know that song, right? We all sang that growing up. And we all think that God's watching everybody. And of course, he does know everything, and he knows everything. But guess where his eyes are? They're on you. He's not watching them. I mean, he knows what's going on, but his eyes are on you. His eyes are looking out for you. Come on, somebody. His eyes are looking out to you. He knows. He sees the attack coming before you do. He sees the deceitfulness happening before you do. His eyes are on you, so he sees all of it coming your way. And his ears are open to, whose prayers are his ears open to? The righteous. Open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, according to what 1 Peter said up just a few verses, people that do evil are the people that are talking bad about people and spreading lies and gossip and saying all these horrible things and giving somebody a piece of their mind and letting their tongue have evil. We need to refuse to be that, because the power of God wants so desperately to flow in you and flow through you and do things for you. If you have the power of God flowing through you freely, you see your needs met. Come on, somebody. You see your prayers answered. You see your health maintained. You see, somebody in here ought to get happy about this one, your youth renewed. You see your marriage become bliss. Your friendships are solid. Your understanding of the Bible is clearer. Your prayer life is rejuvenated. And life is constantly on the increase. Why? Because the power of God can flow through you and in you. Because we're walking in love, and we have become an open channel for that to flow through. That's the benefit that you get when you treat somebody better than you just got treated. When you do things for people who don't deserve it, the power of God now can flow through you freer. Well, there's got to be more to it. We got to pray more, and we got to fast more, and we're going to have to read our Bibles more. Sure, we got to do all those things. But listen to me. The big hang-up is the fact that we don't know how to treat each other. But the benefit of walking in love is that. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For the opportunity to have